Our scripture this morning is Matthew 18, and we will actually be starting at verses 21, which leads into then the rest here. So then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Welcome, John. We look forward to hearing your message.
Praise the Lord. Let me pray before we start. Thank you, Lord, for this great moment that you have allowed me to stand before your people, your children, sisters and brothers in Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through me to minister to your children as we are going to share in fellowship through the power of forgiveness. I pray and believe the Holy Spirit will work it out in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've been already been introduced, my name, I want first to be sure this is the first slide, the second slide. Jonathan. I don't see what you want. The first slide, where is it? There you are. Okay. I'm a pastor. I minister with the Mennonite Church in Tanzania. My congregation is called Upanga. It's one of the main churches in the Eastern Diocese. I work under the bishop called Nelson Kisare, who happened to be a family member of the first African bishop after the missionaries left in Tanzania, Bishop Zedekia Maro Kisare. So this is my family. So I'm, you know, from Africa. I'm a man married to one wife. So my wife is Takasa. And on my right-hand side is my first son, Joseph. On the left of Takasa is our second-born, Jerry. Joseph is now studying at Rosedale Bible College in Indiana. In Ohio. Jerry is now studying in California, Solano Community College, doing mechanical engineering, aircraft mechanical engineering. And my third born is Agnes, the only girl we have in the family. And she's now going to a university in Tanzania doing community development. And Joram, the one in a red shirt, is our fourth born, and he's going to do He has two offers, one to do clinical medicine in Tanzania, but he also got approved to go to Minnesota to do a computer science degree. And the last born, Amani in English is peace. So he's now in third year of secondary school. He'll be finishing next year. So that's my family. So today I felt that I can share with you about the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. And I just picked it from the Bible, where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he started by telling them, how do you get your brother when you are in problem, in disagreement, when you're in conflict? If someone has done wrong to you, how do you get him or her back to you? So he gave some steps when we read from Matthew chapter 18, from verse 15 to 17, we hear that story telling the disciples, go to your brother. If you can't get him, then ask other two or three people to go with you. If you can't, then ask the church to go with you. If you don't listen to the church, then consider him like a Gentile. But considering him as a Gentile means start to minister to him again. As he said in Matthew chapter 28, go to all nations and make disciples. So we consider him someone who need to be ministered. Then when he was sharing that story, here Peter comes with a question and a proposed answer. He just said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? He has a question, but he also has a proposed answer. So, Jesus said, no. Not only seven, because Peter was trying to put a limitation in forgiving people. That at least seven times is enough, God. Lord, it's a seven. It's a, and he considered like a seven is so many times, like seven. And then Jesus said, no, there is no limit, not even seven. Seventh times seven. Maybe it's a high bar that, should I sit down and count all the mistakes or someone has done wrong to me up to 70 times seven, 490. And then when I reach there, I said, now I have 490. I can't forgive you anymore. No, Jesus said, there is no limit. So then we are going to share from that point. From the verses we read, we see the steps. If we want to forgive someone, what are the steps? And if we forgive or if we don't forgive, what are the outcomes? Then the choices you make. There are two choices. And it's upon you. So we see some steps. There are three steps from the verses we read. And then there are outcomes. No matter you decided to forgive or not to forgive, but there are outcomes which you are going to face. Now, Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22, here comes Peter asking a question and Jesus responding. How many times? Seven? No. Not only seven, Peter. 70 times seven. Now, do you think we forgive? Do you think? No. Five. Yes. Do you think? Why do we forgive? Why should we forgive? Do you think it's because Jesus forgave us? Should we forgive because God loves me? Should we forgive because I'm a Christian? Why should we forgive? Then we must forgive because it's a command from the Lord. Jesus commanded, forgive. We have to forgive, not because we are Christians, not because we are fathers or mothers, or we are pastors or we are teachers, or even we are Christians. We forgive because it's a command. It's a God-given command. So when we forgive, we are obeying the command which God has given us to do. Then we forgive because we need also to be forgiven. When we read normally in our church, after reading the sermon, we say the Lord's Prayer. And then there's a part which says, forgive me as I forgive others. So I forgive because also I want to be forgiven. And then when you are forgiven, you are blessed, because a forgiven person is a person who walks with the Lord. And then you have the Lord walking with you. We have the Lord guiding and providing. Therefore, we receive blessings because we forgive people and we obey the command God has given us through what Jesus was sharing. And therefore, in verse 25, now we see that story. When Jesus was asked that question with a proposed answer, in response, he immediately said, no, not seven, but 70 times 7. But then he bring a story, a parable, to make the lesson be clear to the disciples. So, in explaining, in narrating that story, on verse 25, Jesus said, since he was not able to pay, that the master wanted to settle the accounts with his servants. And now here comes a servant who cannot pay the debt. Now, as long as he cannot pay, the instruction is that he will be sold, and his wife and his children and every property he owned must be sold to pay the debt. So it was a big debt that selling him was not enough. Added his wife was not enough. The children won't be enough. All the properties. So it was like that was the end of this person. So there is no any other option for this person to continue living, because then he was going to be sold. How about his dignity? How will the wife look at him? How will the children look at the father who cannot pay the debt, and we are going to be sold? And why should the children be sold for the debt of the father? Why the wife comes into this story for the problem of the father who failed to pay the debt? But the servant decided to go on his knee in front of his master and said, have patience, have mercy, give me time, I will pay you all. Just allow me a little more time. Just give me a second chance. Yes, I messed up. Could you please give me a second chance? So he was pleading, asking. Now he was asking depending on the favor of the master. Now, when he said that on verse 26, he fell on his knees and he asked and begged the master to give him more time. Verse 27 comes a big deal now from the master. A response. Said, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Was moved with compassion. Compassion, mercy. Considering more than the date, but the humanity, other values associated, the relationship they had. He was a servant to him, and he's still a servant. He saved him, but here he cannot pay the debt. So he was moved with compassion. And he decided to release him. So here we need to ask, releasing him from where? He released him from his heart. He was enslaved him in his own heart. In the master's heart, the servant was enslaved in. And then he said, now I release you. After he was moved with compassion. What is behind the compassion? The love. Unlimited love. That this is a fellow human. This is someone I value, I like, I loved. We had a relationship. Now he cannot pay. With that, he felt that compassion and decided to release this man from his heart. And then he forgave. So this is where we get the steps of forgiving. This is where we get the steps of forgiving. Compassion. If you don't have that sense of compassion in you about someone who is indebted to you, it is difficult to forgive that person. So unless there is love, which makes you to feel like this is a fellow, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my colleague, my church member, we had relationship. We shared an international meal on that night. These are the two women who prepared that big event. And everyone came with different types of food. Now they have messed up. That love, that history, that relationship put you in a sense of compassion. And you feel like, oh, I need to consider something else. And this person is on his knee in Africa. When you kneel before someone asking for forgiveness, that is the highest level of respect you have given to that person. It doesn't matter the age. You may be older than him or her, but you go on your knee asking for forgiveness. If this person has compassion and love in him, you will see the tears flowing. It's a stage whereby you feel and connect with someone. And then he said he released him when she was reading the last verse. She said, verse 35, she said this: "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." So forgiveness comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the mind. It comes from the heart. Now, if forgiveness comes from the heart, it means when someone hurt you, you put that person into your heart. In other ways, you are carrying the person in your heart. You are walking with him or her. So releasing is open up your heart. Get him out of your heart. Let him go. Release, forgive. So, we need to take step number one. That sense of compassion should be there before we forgive. So forgiveness is the last point after you have considered that sense of compassion and you release the person from your heart and then let him go. So if I talk to mothers in Africa, my mother would tell me, When I wrong her, I do something wrong to her, she'll tell me, "My son, don't do that again. When you are doing it, my stomach down here, I feel like a knife cutting here. So whenever I see the wrong things you are doing, I feel that pain. Please, don't do it again." So it means, if my mother will keep me in her heart, if she will not forgive me and release me and let me go out of her heart, whenever she sees me, that feeling comes in her and she will feel that knife cutting. Therefore, the heart is being damaged for a person who does not forgive. So I don't forgive person one, I keep in my heart. I don't forgive person two, he's in my heart. The third one, the fourth one, 10 people you don't forgive, you are carrying, you are walking with them. Whenever you see them, you turn the other side. You don't want to look at them. They are bad guys, bad people. You hate them. And as it grows in you, carrying other people in you, it is damaging your heart. And whenever you see them, it's you who feel the pain, not them. So not forgiving is like you're trying to take a poison, drink it, expecting your enemy will die or will be damaged. You are damaging yourself for not forgiving. That's why Jesus said, it is like the same as my Lord. So, forgive people from your heart, not from the mind, not saying, "Okay, I'm sorry, go." So sometimes when we are in pastoral counseling, you ask people who are in trouble and say, "Okay, shake hand, off you go." It's a process. So those are the steps we need to take when we are trying to forgive. But what do we normally do when someone asks for forgiveness? This servant was on his knee, crying, asking, pleading. What we normally do Do we say yes? In normal circumstances, what is our response to those situations? Most of the people won't forgive. Some will forgive. So, verse 28, we see the person who was forgiven went back home and he found someone indebted to him, and here he wants him to pay the debt. And the same he did to the master, this person also did to him. He went on his knees, asked for forgiveness. Give me more time, I'll pay you back. The same words he used, and he was forgiven, they are now being used to him. So it is so easy to ask forgiveness and receive forgiveness from other people, but it is not easy to give forgiveness to other people. So here, he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Go into prison until you pay. So this is the way normally people will respond. Not Jesus' way, but in a human way. So, most of the time, we don't forgive. In fact, we disobey. It means when we forgive, we are obeying the command God has given us, forgive others. So when we disobey, we don't forgive. Now, what is the outcome of not forgiving? The outcome of not forgiving. So, the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. We see the impact of forgiveness when we forgive. And we see the negative effect when we don't forgive. So there is power, no matter how you use the word forgive. But there is power. If you forgive, there is power. A positive power. If you don't forgive, there is a negative power. And it's a bad power. So, verse 32. This master, then he said, then summoning him, his master said to him, now, he was forgiven. He was released. He went and he failed to forgive another person. He was brought back to the master. Now, the master is talking to him. He said, you wicked slave. Now, that name, wicked. If you don't forgive, you are wicked, according to the parable Jesus was giving. He called him, you wicked slave. He's wicked because he did not forgive. Just by not forgiving, the person was named a wicked person. And then he said, if I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me, should you not also have mercy to this slave? So he was challenged. He was put into a moment of listening at a heart level. How do you feel? You were forgiven. Why don't you forgive? How do you feel? Jesus went on the cross and paid the price of my sin and your sin. You are a forgiven person. You are now in the kingdom of God. You are rejoicing with the presence of the Holy Spirit. But here comes a situation. You don't want to offer forgiveness for someone else. So, he was asked, why shouldn't you forgive this person? So, now this master moved with anger. He moved with anger and handed him over the torturers until he will pay. He was moved, handed over to the torturers. She read, he was taken to the jailers. So when you go to the jail, they are jailers. They will torture you. So, that's what the response from the master. Now, what does it mean to be tortured? It means to be jailed. It means to be tormented, to be suffered. You are putting in a situation where you have to suffer. You have to go through some pain because you did not forgive. So, when you are tortured because of not forgiving, there are times you have a physical damage to your body, emotional damage to your souls, or even sometimes you get problems with the mental or financially. There are different ways of being tortured. And people who have not forgiven their fellows, when they are suffering, when they are being tortured because of not forgiving, when they come to the pastors and ask for prayers, we can pray day and night, but nothing will happen to them. Because the source of their suffering is they never forgave someone, and God is pleading them to forgive, but they don't want to forgive. So therefore, they are in jail, they are being tortured by the torturers. And it's not God who is torturing them, but God released them, allowed them to go to jail and to be tortured. So someone can be having physical illness, emotional suffering, mental problem, financial challenges, but it's because he never forgave. There is a story of a pastor's woman who was suffering, seriously sick, went to different hospitals in Tanzania, was not able to be cured, and then they saw, the church member said, why don't we contribute money and send her to India? So they raised money, they put her in a plane, she went to India for treatment. She went to India, nothing happened to her. Still, she was sick. And when they take the equipment and try to check what is the source of the problem, they don't see anything. But she is sick. So, in the plane coming back to Tanzania, she was sitting next to a person. And she was on wheelchair, she was put in the plane through a wheelchair, and then as they are sitting, this man decided to talk to her. And he asked her, what's your problem, ma'am? It seems like you have a health problem. Say, I don't even know what the problem is. This is the third year I'm suffering, but I don't know the problem. I went to hospitals, and now I'm coming from India. I said, okay, who are you? I'm a pastor's wife. Okay, pastor's wife. How is the relationship between you and your husband? Oh, we have a very good relationship. In fact, I defend him a lot because church members talk bad about him. So I defend him. I hate people in my church. They talk bad things about my husband. This guy said, okay, so you hate people in the church? Yes. Church members? Yes. For how long? For 3 years. What have they done to the husband? She started to narrate the stories. And this guy told her, Mama, you are sick, but you have the cure of your problem within yourself. What? Yes. If you decide to forgive these people, the church members who give offering to the church, who pay your husband's salary at the end of the month, who support your husband in different ways, but because they are criticizing him, you are not happy. Jonathan was sharing today in the Sunday school about criticism. So you are taking it negatively. So do you mind to forgive these people? I can lead you into a prayer, so that you can forgive. Then she said, let me try that, because I've tried all other medicines, I don't get cured. Then this man prayed with this woman. She was weeping. And she forgave one after another. Now, they are landing to the Dar es Salaam airport. Outside, half of the church members are at the airport with the pastor. They want to encourage the pastor because the wife went, no medication. So the woman is coming back, still a sick woman. So, pastor, take it easy. God has ways. So they came, a group of men and women, children and youth. Now, here comes out a woman walking by herself, no wheelchair. And everybody was surprised. But we are told she's on wheelchair. As we brought her here, she's already a healed woman. As she walked outside, she was weeping. So people started to sing. We have a song in Tanzania, in hymn book number 1, we say, Utukufu Hallelujah. Utukufu Hallelujah. It's like a glory Hallelujah, something like that. So they started to sing that song is because they are happy. And then she said, wait a minute. I'm waiting. There is a man who treated me. He's coming. Just wait. That man walked out. He said, this is my doctor. So everybody, wow. And what's wrong? What have I done? You are the doctor of our pastor's wife because of forgiving. So, now, the choice, we have two choices. We can decide to forgive or not to forgive. Yeah. So we say that in the beginning, someone can hurt you intentionally or unintentionally. So I put intentional up in unintentional. So something may happen to you intentionally or unintentionally. I can hurt you without knowing. Maybe as I'm preaching, I'm making you unhappy. So I don't know. So it's unintentional. I'm sorry. But so that one will cause a wound in your heart. That's why I put that heart. Now, coming to you, the arrows coming to you, you have no control over them. Jonathan, from the session you had in the morning, someone criticizing you, you don't have the option who will criticize you, how, when, you don't have that control. He will say it, then, but you have 100% control for the choice you are going to take. Now, when someone hurts you, there are two ways. Either you obey or you disobey. You obey because Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. Forgive. That's what he said. But if you decide not to forgive, that is disobedience. Now, what comes out if you forgive? If you forgive, you get healing. God heals you. That pain is being removed from your heart. You become a normal person, a happy, a joyous man of God or woman of God. And then, if you are healed, God blesses you. So, the outcomes of obeying Jesus and forgiving other people will make you also to be forgiven, to be blessed, to be healed. If I decide not to obey, if I disobey, I will not forgive. If I will not forgive, then I will be tormented. He sent him to the jailers to be tormented. If you don't forgive, you are being sent to the jailers. And they will torment you. And God will judge you. God will not forgive you because you are not forgiving others. And at the end of the day, you will miss the opportunity to rejoice with Jesus Christ in heaven because you never forgave just one person or two people. So, forgive is the best option. Is the best option. So as I'm finishing, I have either to obey so that I forgive and my heart is healed, or when I get healed, also God blesses me. I decide not to obey, so I disobey. I not forgive, then I get tormented. And God judges me. The choice is yours. But there are a few key points here. God desires that everyone forgive everyone for everything. So forgiveness is not for few people, for few things, is for every person, for everything, and it is for you don't keep anything, say, okay, you did 3 things to me, I have forgiven 2, but this one, no. Mm-mm. Forgive for everything. Forgive everyone. You say, oh, I forgive the pastor because he's preaching to me, so I can forgive him, but I don't forgive this person because who is he anyway? We forgive every person. And then, God described people who don't forgive as wicked. I don't want to be a wicked. I don't want even to be called a wicked person. But also, God delivered anyone who chooses not to forgive. He will deliver that person to the torturers. Physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, in any way. And then, The torturers apply discipline until forgiveness is granted. So no cure. The only cure is to forgive. So forgive, you are done. But there are exceptions. The only exceptions is this. There is a grace period, a window of grace for adults. Me, if for instance, if someone harm me now, hurt me now, I feel pain, and I say, I struggle a bit. I will take time. It's not that okay, I've forgiven you. We are emotional. We are human beings. We have bodies. So we have a window of grace. It takes time. Then, this window of grace, is it 1 day, 10 days, 1 year, 10 years? People prefer to have 10 years. But Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will decide. So you will hear the Holy Spirit ministering to you, forgive him, forgive him. That is the time after the grace period. But there is a season of childhood for the little ones. Because Jesus said, let them come to me, because the kingdom of heaven is for them. So if you do anything bad to the child, take an example in Tanzania nowadays, we have abusive ways, people abusing children different ways. So fathers, brothers, uncles, they abuse children. So if this child is abused, and he keep this in his mind, as he's growing, there is that grace period, the season of childhood. He will reach, or she will reach, a point where the Holy Spirit will minister to her or him, forgive that person. Forgive that person. Maybe 10 years, maybe 13 years, maybe 9 years. The Holy Spirit know how we do it. So, I tell you, so I'm just finishing. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, not only 7 times, but 70 times 7. Forgive others and forgive yourself. There are people who have decided not to forgive themselves for the mistake they have done in life. You are also asked to forgive yourself. So you have the chance to forgive others, but also to forgive yourself. The people who don't forgive themselves, you find them committing suicide, things of that kind. They can't forgive. They can't take it anymore. But Jesus is calling for that person to forgive others and forgive himself or herself. Will you offer someone today forgiveness? Do you have someone in mind? You feel like, I have not forgiven this person. He did bad things, but I think I'm still carrying that person. If you have that person, now, this is your chance to forgive. The choice is yours. Forgiveness has power. Negative power, which is destructive, and a positive power, which is constructive. God forgive you. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. As the Holy Spirit is ministering to his children, as we've been listening to this sermon, will you consider any one of us who is still having someone in his or her heart, encourage him or her to release that person. Give her a sense of compassion and then power to release the person from his or her heart, but also to forgive. Forgive us, encourage us as we go through this process. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.